I'd like to share some thoughts I believe the Lord has given me this week, and I hope it will be an encouragement to us. I'd like to read a little bit. I read this in Streams of Desert, and it was a real encouragement to me. The scripture it's using, it says, we live by faith, not by sight. And that's 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. That's where Paul, he mentioned about his desire was to be present with the Lord, but to be in the body was to be absent from the Lord. And then we have this little verse here, in parentheses even, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Said, as believers, we live by faith, not by sight. God never wants us to live by our feelings. Our inner self may want to live by feelings, and Satan may want us to live by our feelings. But God wants us to face the facts, not feelings. He wants us to face the facts of Christ and His finished and perfect work for us. And once we face these precious facts and believe them simply because God says they are facts, He will take care of our feelings. Yet God never gives us feelings to enable or encourage us to trust Him. And He never gives them to show us that we have already completely trusted Him. God only gives us feelings when He sees that we trust Him apart from our feelings, resting solely on His Word and His faithfulness to His promise. Therefore, we must choose between facing our feelings or facing the facts of God. Our feelings may be as uncertain and changing as the sea or shifting sand. God's facts, however, are as certain as the Rock of Ages Himself, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then they quote the verse that's in our hymnal, when darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every strong and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. So, anyway, I believe the Lord let me read that, and I enjoyed that very much, being reminded of that. I also believe it was Lord's direction, came across an article that Brother Mart Sammons wrote in 1983 on emotionalism. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I wanted to read just a few of his thoughts he brought out. He said, I would like to say here that feeling has very little to do with our salvation. And that's true. It has very little to do with our salvation. We like good feelings. We like to feel emotional highs. We like the mountaintop. We'd like to live on the mountaintop. But we can't do that. Practically, reality, we live life. Life is not lived on the mountaintops, even though we like to be there. There are times of good feeling and rejoicing, but that is not salvation. I remember one night in camp meeting some years ago, we had a big emotional meeting. About 40 went to the altar. The next day, there was a baptizing service, and only 4 wanted to be baptized. Some folks rely on emotions to the extent that when they don't feel some physical excitement, they feel like they are not saved anymore. Some think that if someone is not outwardly emotional, they are not saved, or they are not what they ought to be. I know a lot of saints that I have never seen shout or make any great outward emotional display, but they are just as solid as a rock. You can depend on them. They are faithful when there is something to do. When there is a sacrifice to be made, they are always there. Some years ago, there was a fellow who made the rounds of the camp meetings. He could jump about as high as anyone I've ever seen. But when the camp meetings were over, he left and we haven't seen him since. It reminds me of when I was a boy growing up. On a farm, we had a young horse that we never could break to work right. You could hook it to a plow, and it was so emotional that it would run about 20 feet and stop. Then when you got it started again, it might just run sideways and break down a lot of corn. At the end of the day, you were just worn out. You were just worn out and had not accomplished very much. Then we had an old mule that was really slow. You could hook it up to the plow and it would go all day long. And it would go all day long. It might look like you weren't doing very much. But when the day was over, you had accomplished much more. Emotionalism can be dangerous. I think back during the war of how some leader would get all excited and all worked up. He would charge right into the enemy and not only lose his own life, but cause many good soldiers to fall by the wayside. The Bible says to ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I like to see someone get tired of sin and the ways of the world, bow before the Lord and make a covenant with Him, then be like the old mule. Just go at it day by day. Anyway, I was thinking about our emotions and feelings, and I also thought of I don't know who it was that related this. This is secondhand. I haven't read it, but it was brought out in the message. There's a song, the name didn't come to me. I know it'll pop right up to you all, but I just somehow it. But one of the verses says, the tide of emotion may run as it will. The Father and Son abide with me still. And there's another verse, I believe it's in that song, it says, I trust not a rapturous frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now, do you know what number that is? Now the story behind that song, I believe it was written by Brother D.S. Warner. 299. And he was holding a meeting somewhere and they were staying night with someone, or they were staying night with an individual. And the brother that they were staying with, the next morning for breakfast, he was just aglow. He was just rejoicing in the Lord, praising God, and rejoicing in the Lord. And Brother Warner didn't feel anything. He didn't feel nothing. He just felt empty. He felt blank. And that's how he got the words came to him later upon thinking about meditating. In verse 3, he said, "My feelings are given to Father's control. His wisdom shall govern my body and soul. His word is sufficient. I seek not a sign. I grasp but the promise, and Jesus is mine." In verse 4, he says, "The tide of emotion may run as it will. The Son and the Father abide in me still. I dare not confide in a rapturous frame, but stand on the promise forever the same." I'll say the great word, I'll say the great word. I'm all on the altar that sanctifies me. I'll tell it forever and honor my Lord. Yes, glory to Jesus. I'll say the great word. But it talks about our feelings. It talks about our emotions, our experiences, that we, our inward feelings. And it can affect, it has a way of coloring our perspective. Our feelings have a way of coloring our outlook, our, you know, if you had someone smile at you, you know, just kind of a glow or bright, cheery, and they shake your hand, they say, "How are you doing?" And you're feeling low and empty, and you feel troubled and maybe discouraged and depressed somewhat. How do you answer that? Well, I got an answer. By faith, I'm doing great. You know, because we reflect so many times on how we feel, how we're looking. But that's not the true picture of how we are. That's not the true picture of our spiritual condition. That's not the true reflection of God being in us. But many times I've had trouble knowing what to say at those times. How are you doing? Well, but I've got an answer now. By faith, I'm doing fine. I'm doing great by faith. I believe that's a good answer. I believe that's an answer we can safely give. By faith, I'm doing great. You know, we do, and I think about, I wanted to, while we're on the song book, 4, Living by Faith, 488 came to my mind. This is one of my favorite songs. I love this song, 488. He says, "I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries are vain." You know, it seemed like that's a good place to be. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. I don't have to have sunshine. I don't have to have everything my way. I don't have to have everything go my way. To be, you know, on the way to service this morning, I was running late. And this little, my truck, the Toyota, it's not my little one, it's the bigger one. But that truck has got some pep, a lot more than my Ford did. I don't know, something about it, it's almost like there's a it just goes when you just barely step on it. And I've squealed my tires I don't know how many times, and it wasn't because I was in a rush and a hurry. It's just like, I don't know if there's a little catch there or something. I don't know what it is, but it just, I leave everybody behind. Of course, this morning I was running late, and that didn't bother me too much. But I noticed this other truck beside me, and I was going definitely the speed limit a little over. But I'd get up there and I'd see the light turning yellow. And that truck would just pull up there. First light, second light, here we go. I'd take my truck, just bolted off, going lead. Here's another light turned yellow on me, and I look in my mirror, and here comes this truck. This truck coming right up, pulls up to me. Third light, same thing happened. Third light, three lights. You know, ever notice that when you're kind of in a rush, lights seem to turn. Not only did the lights turn yellow on me, but I had the victory before I got to the train. I was on Grand. And I saw the train tracks. But on the fourth light, it doesn't matter. It's not going to help me to be 2 more minutes earlier than what I am. So I just started singing, Living by Faith. I started singing this song and just taking my time and enjoying my trip to the chapel this morning. And the train thing came down. I'll just go around the block, come in the back way. You know, sometimes we get in a hurry, we think things have to be a certain way, and God, you know, that's a big deal with us. Sometimes we get in our minds, things have to be a certain way. And they don't. And the Lord wants us to be able to adapt. He wants us to be able to, maybe He's got something different in mind for the day. Maybe He's got something, a redirecting of our route, a redirecting of what He wants us to do. Maybe He's got a different appointment for us that we didn't have in our schedule, or we didn't have in our agenda. And I believe that we just need to be open to God, open to the Lord to, you know, He said, I'll say the great word. I'm all on the altar. Sanctified for me. I'm all on the altar. When we sing that, do we know what we're singing? Lord, redirect my day. We're saying, Lord, whatever You have in mind for us, whatever Your plan is for us. Anyway, I appreciate the Lord's goodness to us. This verse, He says, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know, ruleth o'er everything. Do we believe that this morning? We believe that God has control, that He's above this world, above Satan, above all the powers of the enemy. I remember one time doing comes to my mind, a job up here just a little bit north over by the high school. He was an alcoholic guy, and you know, just things didn't go right for me that day. I can't remember what it was. I hit my head on something, he just laughed. He just laughed, and I, you know, it was just kind of a, it was a difficult day. I wanted to be a light. I wanted to witness to him, but it just seemed like things weren't go well. But, you know, later when I thought about it, you know, there wasn't any foul words that came out of my mouth and things that happened that day. And I believe he, you know, after it was all over with, I did a good job for him. There was a lot of things in his house that the whiskey bottles was there, the TV was blaring, and a lot of things was there. But, you know, at the end of the job, I think he appreciated what I did. He appreciated, I believe he appreciated me being there. But we don't always know why the Lord allows, maybe it's just to exhibit the grace of God. Maybe it's to exhibit, you know, when everything goes as expected or when everything goes our way, it doesn't take a whole lot of grace to exhibit. But when things are contrary and things are difficult, then it, there's a light that can shine. He said, though tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. And I appreciated the song that was sung this morning, was that sweet stillness of heaven. Sweet stillness of heaven, we can have that, I believe, when we're living by faith and trusting in God and leaning upon Him, we can have that sweet stillness in our heart and our life. I want to get a verse of Scripture, a familiar Scripture in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. In the first verse it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. Now, I don't know why Jezebel sent a messenger. Why didn't she just send an executioner? I don't understand it. I don't know. But she sent a messenger. Well, the Lord ruleth over everything. She sent a messenger. And we know what happened immediately before this. God answered prayer miraculously. He sent fire down from heaven and consumed Elijah's sacrifice. The powers of evil were thwarted. The prophets of Baal were slain. A great victory. Wonderful victory. 3.5 years of rain, no rain, and the Lord sent rain? Miracle after miracle. The Lord sent rain, and the Lord sent the fire and consumed the sacrifice. Miracle after miracle came. You'd think that would have carried him for a long, a long ways out. You know, you think he would have had the mindset of, bring it on. But he didn't. It says, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And maybe Elijah was coming. He was probably nearing the end of his ministry, his life. I can't probably say for certain, but it wasn't very long after this that he had told him to go anoint Elisha in his room. So he may have been older at this time. But regardless, he was ready to go on. He was ready, Lord, get me out of here. I've had enough. It's enough. I'm ready to go. He said as he lay and slept under a juniper tree. You know, a juniper, I think he's probably pretty well hid under a juniper tree. Those things grow low to the ground. He was probably hid under there. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. You know, it's wonderful the Lord knows where we're at. We may be kind of hiding. We may be afraid of something. We may be in a certain circumstance. We may be not wanting to deal with something that's on our plate or in front of us. But the Lord knows when we're under a juniper tree. He knows exactly where we're at. And He knew where Elijah was at. Knew exactly where he was at. And He said, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Well, it doesn't really, it says, how to describe it? An angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. I don't know if he saw. He may not have. He may have saw an angel. He may not have. I doubt it. But there was an angel there that touched him, and it communicated to him that he should arise and eat, and there was something there for him. Whether he saw the angel or not, that was a miracle, him being under a juniper tree, and he gets up and hears this sustenance because the Lord knew where he was at. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You know, the Lord has a way of touching us and communicating to our hearts what we need. We don't always know what we need. As a person, sometimes when we pray, I prayed before, Lord, I don't know what I need. I need something, but I don't know what it is. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord can touch us and put His words within us. He can touch us. He can touch a desire. He can touch, and His touch can bring communication. It can bring thoughts. It can bring, but it's just a gentle touch. I testified a while back, the Lord, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and it was like, where did that come from? My mind was dwelling on something else, and all of a sudden this thought, it was just like, I believe it was the Lord that told me that. And he said, it's going to be okay. I had a lot of things in my mind that I was worrying about, and He just said, it's going to be okay. But the angel, when the Lord touches us, He can bring communication and thoughts to us. We may never see the angel. We may never know that it was the angel or the Lord that gave us that. I think sometimes we can recognize more definitely that it was something of God and not our own human thoughts, but not always. And it said, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You know, we kind of feel this on a national level or a state level. It's like, are we the only ones left? It seems like the people of God are few in number, and that's what Elijah saw. He was complaining to the Lord. You remember, he said, I believe even before here, but he said, or maybe this is it. No, I think it was before here. He said, I've reserved 7,000 and have not bowed their knees to Baal. God had people that Elijah didn't know about. He had people here and there that he didn't know about. Verse 18. Yes, okay. I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. You know, these are spectacular, these are great things that are happening here. These are phenomenal things that he's observing. But he didn't hear the voice of the Lord in him. Now, I believe the Lord could have spoke through these things. He could have spoke through the wind. He could have spoke through the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. The Lord could have spoken through the fire. He could have spoken through the earthquake. That's what He could speak any way He wants to speak. But He didn't. He chose a still small voice. And I believe this scripture is in here for our good and for our benefit and for our purpose. I want to say I've had some great blessings in my life. I have seen visions. I have had dreams. I've had some wonderful, wonderful things in my life that the Lord has done and spoken to me through. Wonderful things. I'll take them with me to my grave. I'll have them in eternity. But He doesn't usually speak to us that way. Most of the time, it's going to be a still, small voice. It's going to be something small and insignificant, and we're apt to overlook it if we're not careful. We're apt to not even notice it. We're apt to not even see it. Sometimes in our busy minds and busy hearts. The Lord wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to everybody. He wants to speak to the world, the sinner. The Lord wants to speak, and He does speak. But most of the time, it's going to be a still, small voice. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou here, Elijah? You know, Elijah had been, we serve a compassionate God, don't we? I'm sure when Elijah saw that, he fled for his life. After those mighty, wonderful things that God had been revealed in such a wonderful way, but sometimes we can end up maybe just spiritually in a place that we, and the Lord asks us, what are you doing here? Maybe it's in fear, maybe it's in doubts, maybe it's in perplexity, maybe it's in distress, maybe it's in grief. And the Lord says, What are you doing? What are you doing here in this place? You know, we serve a wonderful, compassionate, loving Savior that will meet us where we're at. But I want to encourage us this morning, and I've been really challenged with this, not to seek the great. You know, our flesh, the flesh desires. Paul, in speaking about the revelations that he had, he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the revelations, they could have exalted Paul, but he was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him. It could have exalted him. But I want to encourage us, don't not to seek after just the great and spectacular ways for God to reveal Himself. And we sang it one of these songs, one of the verses about a sign. And I noticed the Jews, they were always seeking a sign. They were seeking a sign. They were seeking something big. They were seeking something spectacular that they had never seen before. But the way the Lord usually works, and he'll give some wonderful things, but it's on his occasion when we need it. But let's know that God does speak to us, but he usually uses a still, small voice. And that's what we want to be in tune with today. I think about, it can cause us, 287 is another song that we sing. You know, the devil was tempting Jesus. He said, you know, if you were the Son of God, cast yourself down off the temple here. Because it said he'll give his angels. It was something great, you know. And then he told him, he said, if you'll bow down and serve me, he said, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. It was a temptation for greatness. It was a temptation. But here in this 287, he said, can I defeat my Savior's plan, trample his mercy in the dust? How can I longer doubting remain if I but do what's right and just? This is a very vital verse. This is a wonderful verse. If we're doing what's right, if we're doing what's just, if we're doing what is honest and upright, and we're seeking God, and we're not being led into the ways of the flesh and sin, then we are His child. We belong to God, regardless of how He answers prayer or how He doesn't, regardless of how we feel. But I know doubt, Satan uses doubt many times to inject. When I don't get an answer like I want, when I don't see something, when I don't see change, Satan is right there to inject doubt into our mind. And we don't want that going to our heart. He says, I will reject all doubts and fears. I will believe and simply trust. Thou hast said, cast on me thy cares. Can I obey? Yes, Lord, I must. Since I am dependent, Lord, on thee, why should I doubt thy saving grace? If by resisting Satan must flee, then I behold thy smiling face. I will no longer doubt thee, O Lord. I will forever stand on thy word. I will believe and simply trust. Can I have faith? Yes, Lord, I must. You know, I thought about marriage and, you know, in marriage there's wonderful times of closeness, and just seems like on the same wavelength. And but marriage is not always that way. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't understand one another quite as well as we should. Sometimes we don't maybe understand situations and different things. There's just a lot of ups and downs. But I'm still married. I don't question my marriage. We've got the license. There was a lot of witnesses that saw us make our vows. So when we have an ups and downs in our spiritual journey, we don't want to question our marriage. We're still married to Christ. If we're still following Him, we're still serving Him the best we know and understand, we're seeking Him, we're still married, whether we feel like we're married or not. You know, I've been, Leah's with the girls, I've been alone a little bit, but I'm still married. I'm still married. I expect her back probably Monday or Tuesday. Probably Tuesday. They're having a little dinner for Rosie's, I think Rosie's birthday. In our spiritual life, there's a lot of ups and downs, just like Elijah experienced, we experienced. We experience high times, we experience times that are not so great. But we're trusting right here. We're trusting on the Word. We're believing in the Word. We're believing in the covenant. We're believing in what God has said in His Word. And that's what these songs are bringing out. That's what faith, living by faith. I believe, I trust, regardless of my emotions, regardless of my feelings, I'm going to continue on with God. I am His, and He is mine. Sometimes we go through desert places spiritually. Sometimes we go through storms spiritually. But God has promised. He promised to be there. Whether we feel Him, whether we don't, He's there. We believe, we trust the Word because it is written. Peter, in one place, he was talking about the transfiguration. Him and John saw the transfiguration. Wonderful. Great. That was a mountaintop experience. But he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That was more of a foundation. The Scriptures are more of a foundation than what they saw with their natural eyes, than what they beheld. That's what he brings. That's his thought. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a stronger foundation than what that experience ever was. I'm thankful today for the Scriptures. I'm thankful for the hope, the change that God has made in our lives, the journey that He's giving to us, and I know He'll see us to the very end. He'll see us all the way through to the very end if we'll keep leaning upon Him, trusting in Him, believing in Him. Thank the Lord for His mercy.